It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. Ton, the next listener wants to know, they have very sandy soil and they know that their lawn is going dormant, but it looks like there are some spots in the lawn that look burned, and they're wondering with the upcoming warm weather if it's okay to spot water.
If it's newer grass, yes, they can. If you read, fact sheets and things about lawn watering in the fall, you don't generally need to, especially on Kentucky bluegrass. Now, if it's newer, yes, because those roots aren't established. I have ryegrass in my front lawn, which is used on golf courses quite a bit because it is easy to repair, but it also, the growth characteristics make it, if it gets drought stress, so that it gets really thin. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a couple of spots that I've just, for just 10 or 15 minutes, run some house water because I can't afford for the grass to get thin because of, a lot of different things. So there are some situations that you can spot water, but generally you don't need to if it's established Kentucky bluegrass.
All right. The next person has called the show before. They have established they have a virus in their garden, but they have very limited space to actually have a vegetable garden. So they are wondering what they can do this fall, mix into the soil to help improve the situation for next year.
Compost. That's going to be the answer because there's, the other thing they would want to look at is rotating what they grow in the same spot.
Right.
And so even if they have to move to some containers that are large enough to accommodate, say, like a tomato or peppers or whatever, they need to rotate. And if it's in the natural soil, compost will help. Or if it's raised bed mix, compost will help. But that if it's artificial raised bed mix, I would swap it out every 3 years or so.
Okay, so with the compost, if it's not in a container or whatever, how much would they need to mix in? How would they do that?
1 inch will maintain the soil as is and keep it goodish. But if you feel like it needs to be improved, 2 or 3 inches over the top and then spaded or tilled in.
Okay. Next person says, now that we did have a freeze, do they put their flower bed to rest? Do they cut back the hydrangeas, daisies, peonies, and such? Or
don't cut back the hydrangeas. They, depending on the variety, if you have like the ones that struggle here that everybody wants, the pink and blue mop head hydrangeas, those bloom off one-year-old wood. And if you cut them, you don't get any flowers. So depending on the variety, you need to be careful with that and look up your specific species. Otherwise, if they're perennials like peonies and other, like your annuals, you can just yank out and the perennials can be cut back.
Okay, so the daisies and the, how about, did you say peonies?
Yeah.
Peonies,
if they've gone yellow and brown,
lilies?
Cut them. Lilies, if they're brown, mine are still blooming.
Okay.
So I would leave them alone until they finally die back.
Okay, how short do they cut their butterfly bushes? It's not a dwarf.
Wait for spring, and depending on the age, when they're younger, 6 inches, when they're older, up to 18 inches. But the key is to just give them a hard haircut, mm-hmm, so that they're anywhere from 6 inches to 18 inches, maybe even 2 feet off the ground.
The next person is wondering about planting a crepe myrtle tree in the Lehigh area. Would it overwinter, and how would it... Does it grow very tall?
No, it doesn't grow tall because it will get killed to the ground almost every year and come back from root. And so you're almost growing a perennial to the... So crepe myrtle, unless you're in Moab or St. George, just really isn't a great option on the Wasatch Front. Now, when I say that, I know there's people, well, there's this one. I know. there's one on Temple Square, and there's some around that are in extremely protected spots. But I would dare say that 95 out of 100 will be killed to the ground every year.
All right. We talked about hydrangeas and all sorts of other things. How about hibiscus? Do we cut those stalks down now?
When they are brown, yes. Now, there's the perennial hibiscus that will be cut to the ground. But if it's a bush like Rose of Sharon, no. You leave those alone and you give them a trimming using renewal pruning in the spring.
Next person wants to know, should they dig out their calla lily and store it inside for the winter?
It depends on if it's a hardy form. If it's cold hardy, they could probably just put some bark mulch over the top 3 or 4 inches and it would be fine. If it's a non-hardy type, then I would dig it up.
Next person wants to know, this is Gerald from Hooper. He wants to know what he should do with sprouts around the base of a fruit tree or fruit trees.
Cut them back at any time, especially in apples. Those root suckers are very prone to fire blight and they're very prone to woolly apple aphid. And so it's always a good policy to keep those cut back.
Okay, let's take a call from Mitch in Taylorsville. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning. I've got a maple tree and some of the leaves are getting brown on the edge of the leaf. And then they're curling up, and then those leaves fell earlier this year. I consulted a local nursery, and they gave me a product that was soluble with water, and I've applied it twice now. After the first application, which was first of the summer, it didn't seem to make any improvement. What have I got, and am I treating it correctly?
So what kind of maple is it?
It's kind of a yellow leaf, I would say, yellow leaf maple.
But you don't know the species?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, but it's a full shade tree and not a Japanese maple.
Correct.
Okay. So if it's got yellow leaves, unless it's Drummond maple, which is a very unique, uncommon tree, it probably also has some iron chlorosis in it. So how big is the tree?
It's probably, I would guess it's maybe 15 feet high, maybe a little higher than that.
Okay, and then how is it irrigated?
By lawn sprinkler.
Okay, and how long has it been in the ground?
About 20 years.
Okay, so it hasn't grown much. And so does it leaf out normally and then the leaves kind of start to fall off and scorch when it gets hot? Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever applied iron to it?
I think that might have been that product that I bought at the nursery. It was, like I say, it was soluble in water, and if it means anything, it kind of turned red when I put it in the water.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend. You want to get that down in late March or early April. And you want to, not just around the trunk, but you want to go out under the canopy of the tree and get it under the canopy and just go back and forth, and you'd mix it in a 5-gallon bucket. So it's they probably sold you Miller Farra Plus. So that would be the thing to do. In addition to that, because we're kind of in emergency mode here, that tree should be double the size. I would also stop by a local store, and I'm not a huge fan of chelates for a lot of things, but just because we're using the shotgun approach, I would get some some humic acid, and that may only help for a couple of weeks, but when you do your iron, you put humic acid down, and then I would do a light application of a granular nitrogen. If you've got some lawn fertilizer, that's fine, or triple 16 or 20-00, but do all three.
Okay. Okay. All right. And so I've used up that first can that I purchased. Do I continue those applications until it gets better?
Well, if it doesn't work this spring, there's something else going on. The other thing, if you wanted to go really shotgun approach, you would want to get some liquid micronutrients and drench those into the ground too.
Okay.
If that doesn't work and it's yellow, you're probably not going to be able to green it up.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like I maybe can save it though, huh?
Yeah, so this is something you're going to have to do every year to 2 years for the life of the tree. And as it grows, you're going to have to do more. And so you also need to consider, with this only being 15 feet tall, are you going to be better served turning it into firewood and planting a more adapted tree?
I hate it when you do that.
Ooh. Yeah.
is it worth the $40 a year?
Right.
Over, you know, so you've just, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but you're going to have to think that through.
Okay.
It's expensive.
All right. Well, all thank right. you.
Thanks, Mitch, for your call this morning. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. We need to take a break. The number you can text us, 57500. We'll be back with more of your questions.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show in the final minutes. Thanks for being here. Let's get some quick callers in here. Let's go to Bryce, who is in Ogden this morning. Good morning, Bryce. How can we help you?
Hi, good morning. I was calling to ask, I've got some rings. I think it's a fungus in my yard. It started last fall, and I kind of thought the frost might kill it out, but this past year they've come back, and it's actually spread a little bit. I think they call them fairy rings. I'm not for sure on that, but I was just calling to see what I could do to get that taken care of.
Let's see if they're fairy rings or not. So as these rings spread, are you seeing a ring of fast-growing grass behind the ring?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, so it is not fairy ring, especially if you're not seeing any mushrooms in it.
Okay, some of them do, but...
So if they have mushrooms in them, it's most likely fairy ring, but... So what you're going to need to do is look up necrotic ring spot. It's not neurotic, but that's a psychological condition, but necrotic, N-E-C-R-O-T-I-C. So okay. Necrotic ring spot, and then also look up fairy ring, because they both make rings, or, you know, the necrotic ring spot has hook shapes and different things, but fairy ring's a little more manageable.
But,
no.
It
won't.
This past year, they've come back. And it's...
Yeah, so on the... Do you have a radio on in the background?
I don't.
Okay, sorry. I was just hearing some reverb for a minute, but it might be our internet connection. So on the necrotic ring spot, if it turns out to be that, you'll want to use a fungicide in the spring when it's around 70 degrees consistently. Otherwise, if you look up a fact sheet, it'll go through some watering techniques and using resistant grass seed varieties to top dress. And there's some other management things you can do. But for fairy ring, a lot of times, if it is fairy ring, that can be masked with just simple fertilization. So you really need to know the difference in them, because the management is different.
Okay. Well, I'll look into that a little further. It's either the necrotic or the fairy rings.
Yeah, necrotic ring spot or fairy ring. And it could be either, and you could have both.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. Let's go to Nikki now in Harriman. Good morning, Nikki. How can we help you?
Yeah. So I think that I have peach borers in my peaches this last season. There was little holes down where the stems attach. And when you'd open the peach, there was like a little white worm inside.
Oh, you had peach twig borer. So peaches have a number of insect pests that can get them. And if you had them in the fruit, then it was peach twig borer. So there's really not much you can do now. How widespread was it in the fruit?
Pretty much all of the fruit had them, yeah.
Okay, so you'll want to treat in the spring. And what I would recommend doing is looking up USU and peach twig borer.
Okay.
B-O-R-E-R.
All right.
And that'll bring up a treatment fact sheet, but you would actually start treating those in the spring. And what you would do is you have to time your sprays so that you can protect the twigs in the spring. And then a little bit later on, when the fruit starts to set, you would spray again then. So instead of trying to say, oh, you'll need to do it on May 15th and then July, you know, whatever, subscribe to the Utah State University Pest Lab updates, because Mayor Murray and her team of volunteers and student employees will tell you down to the day when you need to treat, and will give you both organic and standard options. And so you would go to the website Utah Pests, and that's one word in plural, so Utah Pests.
Okay.
.usu.edu and then slash I, and then P as in Peter and M as in Mary, IPM.
Okay. All right. Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call today. I'm going to try and squeeze Charlie in, but Charlie, I've just got 2 minutes, so we'll see how we do here. What is your question this morning?
Okay, thank you. I'll be quick. So 6 years ago when I landscaped my yard, I planted 3 flowering plums, 3 flowering pears, a honey locust, and a pine tree. And now I've only got a flowering plum and a honey locust left. So I'm wondering what I should plant, what I could plant, because I live in Saratoga Springs, so we have lots of alkali, and when I should plant them, if I should hurry and plant them now for the winter or just wait till the spring.
Well, you could plant them now. Those trees aren't particularly sensitive, and so I would look at your irrigation, either too much or too little water, and the pattern you're using. But if you were wanting something that wasn't a cottonwood or a willow, I would look at the hybrid elms. There's several of them, like Frontier or Sunshine or Homestead, that are great trees that will tolerate slightly saltier soils like Saratoga may have. Another one you could look at is Hackberry. That one should be fine. And then maybe even some of the oaks, like the English oak or bur oak, because oak trees are slightly more salt tolerant too.
All right. And of course, we're running out of time. Ton, this happens every Saturday. I try to squeeze in as many people as possible, and I always leave people waiting, and I just feel so bad about that. We'll be back again next Saturday from 8 to 11. And for those of you who missed our features at the top of the hour, you can find those on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And again, we'll be back next week from 8 to 11. Have a great weekend.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.